this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's so good to see you here this morning. As was pointed out, we have quite a few that are out sick this morning. And so let's be praying for them and hope that they get back soon, and possibly some that are traveling.
So remember them as well. We are continuing our study on unity in the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12. Today will be the second half of that scripture, 1 Corinthians 12. Last week we studied the first 13 verses. And of that, I want to go ahead and look at a couple of scriptures. But before we do that, I want to look at... got to push the right button. It's down. I want to look at, a puzzle. Every now and then, these brain teasers pop up on my computer. And the other ones I've seen are triangles. And it's guess how many squares or how many triangles are in this one. And I'm not going to spend the time for you to sit there and try to count all of these. We'll go over it as I go along. But as I was doing this lesson, it made me think of this puzzle, this brain teaser. And how many think there are, just, you know, looking at it? And I'm going to go kind of backwards on the way they do it. But you see the two squares in the center, which I've never seen it with those. But there, it's a small 2x2 squares that make up 8 squares. And they form what I'm going to call a medium square. And if you look in the bottom left-hand corner, there's another medium square, which makes up a 4x4 box. Which are 16 medium squares plus the two in the middle, that's 18 squares. So we have those combined. Now, if you look in the bottom left-hand corner and go a 2x2 square, I'm going to call that a large square, and you could go move one over, and there's another large square, and you move that over, and it's another large square. And then if you go up one, and you can go across and go up another one, you can go across, and you get 9 of those large squares. Then if you go back here to the bottom left and go up 3 squares and over 3, you get a large square. And you move that over 1, you got another large square, and you go up and then over and you get 2 more. So you have 4 more large squares, and then you have the really large square. So when you add up the 8 small ones, the 18 medium ones, the 9 large squares, the 4 larger squares and the 1 large, you end up with 40 squares in here. You know, and I thought that was fitting because last week we had 40 people here. And so as we go through this and we look at the body of Christ, and I'm going to say just that one big large square is the body of Christ here at Colbert. Last week we had 40 members here that made up our church. And I tried looking at a directory this morning, and I couldn't find one to show everybody to count them. But 2 weeks ago, I think it was, 2 or 3 weeks, we had 60 people here, okay? And I'm not saying that we're squares, okay? We're not squares, you know? But however many are here, however many make up our body here, you know, like we covered last week, we're all different. We all have different capabilities. We all have different knowledge. We all have different gifts that God has given us, and it doesn't matter. We all make up the body that's here, just like all these different size squares make up that large square. And so think of that example, if you can, as we go through. I want to look at 2 slides from last week. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7. Now there are varieties of gifts, okay, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service that we can do in God's church, but it's the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities that we can do as Christians, but the same God. And again, God, Jesus, Lord, and the Holy Spirit, they are the same. They are the same today. They are the same when Paul was writing this. They were the same back in creation, who formed us in their likeness, okay? So it's the same Godhead 3, but varying gifts in varying service, in varying activities. Now, we are a smaller congregation. When you go to these large mega churches, I don't know if you've ever been to one, but they have all kind of services that they do for themselves and for the community, and activities galore that they do for the different age groups and everything. And we don't have that, but we do have services and activities that we can do. And if we don't have them, maybe you need to brainchild it and let's create that activity or that service that we can do for ourselves, for our body, or for the community. But that same God who empowers them all and everyone, God empowered the gifts and the services and activities to all of us, not just one or two. You know, that old adage of, you know, 80% or 20% of the people do, you know, 80% of the work. You know, and that's not how it should be. We all should be doing our part. And then verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Everything that we do, all the gifts, we should do it for the common good, for everybody. The second verse I want to look at, our second slide, verses 12 through 13, and that's where we ended last week. For just as the body, and I've added here, and I hope it's okay, that means in Colbert, talking about us, for just as the body of Colbert is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though they are many, are one body. So it is in Christ. Okay? And I've talked about it last week, that there are churches all around the world in all the varying countries, but we all make up the body of Christ. For it is one Spirit. We were all baptized into that one body of Christ. Every one of us, all around the world, were baptized into Jesus. Jews or Greeks, Americans or Canadians or Mexicans or English or Spanish or Portuguese or French, Turkish, Russian, Indian, Chinese, Korean, Philippine. It doesn't matter where they're at, whether they're slave or free, we were all made to drink of the one Spirit, of the one Holy Spirit. Okay? And then starting today in verse 14, for the body, all of us, does not consist of one member, but of many. Paul here is going to start talking about our physical body. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong in the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body, does it? Our foot is a part of who we are. And it can't say, well, because I'm not a hand, I'm not as important as a hand. You know, look at all the things that the hand does all day long. You know, it's feeding the face, it's, you know, opening doors, it's driving, it's shifting. Man, that hand is really more important than me as a foot. That doesn't mean that it's not a part of our body. In verse 16, and the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong in the body. That would not make it any more part of the body. You know, the ear could say, man, I'm flipping out here in the breeze. I'm getting cold all the time. I look funny. I stick out through the long hair. You know, I'm not as important as an eye. An eye sees everything. An eye reads everything. An eye watches, you know, TV. You know, I'm just, you know, a flappy thing off here on the side. I'm not important. I don't belong in the body. No, that ear is just as important as the eye for us to be a complete body. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Can you imagine being one whole big eye? How are we going to get around if we're just an eye? How are we going to, you know, hear anything or taste anything or smell anything if we were just an eye? Where would the sense of smell be? God has blessed each and every one of us with our gifts, with the services that we can do and activities that we can do that He sees fit. We just read this on that first slide in verses 6 and 7. We read that God empowers these abilities in everyone. Why did God give us differing gifts? Why did God give us the ability to perform different services to honor Him? Why did God bless us each with different abilities to perform different activities for Him? Paul told us in verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We can't be the same person or have the same gifts or the same wants or the same talents or abilities. God made us all different for a reason. Verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members of the body for each one of them as He chose. God chose to put our ears out here on the side so we could hear. Imagine if our eyes were here. It'd be kind of hard to walk, wouldn't it? You know, but instead we can hear and we can see. Imagine if our feet were all facing, you know, our legs were facing out the sides. How hard that would be to walk. Okay? Or if our arms, you know. No, God made us in this form after His image, not by chance, as some people want to believe. Well, you know, you just started off as a single-cell amoeba in this old murky pond millions of years ago, and you've evolved into what you are today. Yeah, just by chance, this, you know, very articulate body, this very complex body just happened. No, God planned it this way. Every piece is part, and we looked at it last week. I couldn't really count how many parts there are, you know. But God put all these thousands of parts and pieces and cells and, you know, together into this body for a reason. And it's perfect, isn't it? We might look at it and say, oh, no, not really. You know, it's not really perfect, but it is for what God intended it to be. You know, having our ears here and our eyes and our nose and our mouth and, you know, our hands and our feet. You know, it's just a miraculous piece of an invention, if you will, you know, that God created. And He did it for a reason. Verse 19, if all were a single member, where would the body be? If we were all the same. If we were exactly the same, we all had the same abilities, same ideas, same, you know, whatever, how would we be? Well, nobody would be able to do something different because we were all the same. Whereas we're here now, each of us are different. Each have different gifts. Each has different abilities. We all can add something. As we're going to read, we all add something to this body. Verse 20. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Again, my physical body is made up of all these different parts to form my body, just as it does for you. But we as a body of Christ here at Colbert are all different members, are all different parts that make up this body. And again, all the different churches around the world make up the one body of Christ. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, you know what, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Okay? The eye cannot say, you know what, hand, I don't need you. Because when it comes to, you know what, that looks like a delicious piece of cake. I think I'm going to eat it. Yeah. Well, I guess I'll just have to dive down into it. You know, we need the hands. You know, we need our feet. You know, and we might look at it and say, oh man, but I have ugly toes, or they're different sizes and different shapes, and one points off in a different direction, and my next toe is longer than my big toe, and, you know, one's laying down flat. Oh, those are just ugly toes. And yet, you're just a small member. I don't need them. Just cut them all off. Try standing straight and not falling over without your toes. It can't be done. Your toes are your leveling device. You know, they prevent you from falling over. Kathy at one time was having problems feeling her toes, and the doctors would want to see her balance, and he'd say, okay, you know, stand up straight, close your eyes, put your head back, and I'd stand up, and I'd do like, he'd look at me, I said, what are you doing? I said, she's going to fall because she can't feel her toes. And she'd close her eyes and pull, sure enough, she'd fall backwards and I'd catch her. You know, you need your toes to be able to stand and not fall. Those teeny little tiny ugly things you have at the end of your feet, you need them. You know, when you look it up, I looked it up yesterday, and it said, you know, parts of the body that we don't need. And it popped up with seven different things that we don't need anymore. And they used to say you don't need your appendix, you don't need your gallbladder, you don't need your tonsils and your adenoids and all that. But then a few years later, they said, oh, you know what, you do need these parts. It's like, yeah, God knew what he was doing, didn't he, when he put those parts in your body. You know, it's just like anything. Well, we don't need these. Oh, yeah, we do. We don't need, oh, yeah, you do. You know, every now and then you see them say, oh, you know, you can't drink this. Yeah, you know, yeah, you can. You know, it's just constantly. But these parts of the body that said, you don't need them, get rid of them. Yeah, we do need them. God knew what he was doing when he designed our bodies. Again, I hope you don't mind it, but I've changed this verse to kind of, you know how they took the King James Version and updated it to the New King James and took away the King's English, the these and the thous, and made them, you know, to where we could understand it. I'm doing the same thing here, if you don't mind this underlined portion. On the contrary, the people that make up the Lord's church here at Colbert that seem to be weaker are indispensable. We can't sit here and say, I'm a bigger, better, stronger Christian than somebody over here. You know, we don't really need them. No, we do need them. It doesn't matter how young they are, how old they are, how new they are to Christianity, how weak they might be in scriptures. They are all important to our body here at Colbert, just like every part of our body is important to our body. And we can't think that because, you know, they're 105 years old and they can't see to read the Bibles or whatever, that, you know, they're indispensable. They're not. Or they're dispensable. They are indispensable as a member of the body here at Colbert, or as the body of church of God. Verse 23, and on those church members of the body of Christ that we think less honorable, we should bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable Christians are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable Christians do not require. We need to be building up the Christians, I'll say weaker Christians, if I can use that term, okay, more than a person in the church who is involved in everything and does this and does that, okay? We are all important, equal members in Christ's body. All of us. That is what Paul is telling us. The second half of 24. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Again, our toes are real tiny, but they have a very important part and keeping us straight. And it's the same way with the weaker members of our church. They have greater honor. Verse 25, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. We need to treat our body as a whole. We need to take care of our body as a whole. We need to do what we need to take care of our body. Same thing with our physical body here at Colbert and around the world, okay? We need to do whatever we need to take care of one another. If one member suffers, verse 26, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, we rejoice together. We need to take care of each other. We need to look out for each other. Years ago, I was working for AT&T, and I had to go underneath a house, and it was an old house that had a dugout basement. It was dirt floor, dirt walls, and they had put down the heating system, the hot water tank, and everything down there, all the mechanics of the house when they updated the house. Well, I was looking down, making sure there was no snakes in there or anything I was going to trip over and all that, and all of a sudden, I bumped my head on a plastic pipe that was going across. Okay, I wasn't paying attention for my head. I was just looking out for my feet. And I don't know if anybody's ever noticed, I've got an indent here on my head. I think it was like 6 weeks later, I still had a big scab there. And I went to the doctor, and she said, well, if you told me that was 6 days, I wouldn't worry about it, but it's been 6 weeks, there's something wrong. And she took it out, and it ended up being what she called an impact-induced cancer. Okay. So I've ended up with an indent. And so far, I mean, it's been weird because two times this week people have asked me, what's that indent in your head? You know, and it's like, well, I was looking down when I should have been looking up, you know. You know, but we should be looking out for each other. How many times, and I'm sure we've all done it, have you tried walking across your living room? I'm smart enough. I don't need to turn the lights on. I know where everything is at. And you find the table leg and you split your toes, those tiny little appendages on the bottom of your foot, on the end of your foot, and you've split your toes. Did your mouth scream out, yeah, I told you should have turned on the light? No, your whole body reacts, doesn't it? Your mouth screams. Your hands reach down and grab your foot. The other foot starts jumping up and down. Your hands are reaching for the light. You know, we take care of when we have a hurt body part, the rest of our body takes care of it, doesn't it? We as a Christian should do the same for our body here at Colbert. And again, I keep saying Colbert, but it's the body no matter where you're at around the world, okay? If one of our members suffers, I'll say a death in the family, we should all gather around that member. We should comfort them. We should ask them if they need any help. Take care of them, okay? I mentioned before when Bob Gorslin had the heart attack and died, they were in the process of moving out to the west side to be with the church that they had helped plant. We didn't just walk away from Annette and her family. No, we as a family moved her to their new house and helped take care of her during that loss. If all of, one of our members are honored for something great that they have done, we need to gather around them and rejoice with them. Okay? That is what we as a Christian body should be doing for each other. And I've got to get moving. We're only on 10 slides and we got a lot to go. Verse 27. I almost printed out my slide this morning and I didn't do it, and now I should have. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. We are all individuals, but we are a member of Colbert Church of Christ and God's church around the world. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. And as I pointed out last week, we don't have apostles anymore. We don't have prophets. We can't perform miracles. So again, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to update this verse to make it applicable to today. And now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed in his church first elders, okay? Second deacons, third teachers, then workers, then gifts of visiting, helping, administrating to the needs of the family in various kinds of communication. This is how God has set up his church today, with elders and deacons, and then third teachers, okay? And then workers. And then again, the gifts that we could do today, every single one of us, is visit the sick, or just visit in general, helping one another, administrating to the needs of the family. This person needs this, this person needs that. We take care of that. And then various kinds of communication. We have more ways of communicating today than ever before. You can text, you can email, you can call, you can write. Most people might not remember how to do that, okay? But you can write letters. A lady at a congregation we used to live at or go to, she made it a ministry for herself to send out cards for everybody's birthday and everybody's anniversary. That was something that she did. She went down through the directory. You know, that was a ministry that she made for herself in caring for the family, okay? But we need to be looking for things that we can do. You know, look around, this needs to be done, or that needs to be done. It needs to be mowed, it needs to be painted, it needs to, you know, update this, clean that, or whatever. You don't have to worry about, do I have permission to do that? If there's something that we need to do, we need to do it. You know, if it's something big, then yeah, maybe we need to get permission, you know, because maybe that's something that we already have planned. But those are things that we need to be involved in and doing constantly for the church. And then our last slide this morning, the last three verses, 29 through 31, are all apostles or currently elders? No. Are all prophets or deacons? No. Are all teachers? No. If we were all teachers, who would be our students, okay? Do all work miracles? I've interpreted that to be workers. Do all possess gifts of healing or visiting? Do all speak with tongues? Helpers? Do all interpret? Again, administering to the needs of the family. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Wherever you see yourself, aspire to do something better. Try to do something more. I've shared with you before when we were in Iceland, we kind of had a tradition, you know, because we were so small, anytime somebody would show up, it's like, you know, what would you mind helping with, you know, for our worship service? And we had this one guy show up, he was there by himself, and he goes, oh, nothing, I'm just a pew warmer, thank you. And it's like, okay, that's not what God tells us to be, does it? Nowhere in there do you see being a pew warmer, not doing anything. And he didn't. He ended up helping. He would read a scripture, you know, help at the Lord's table or whatever. Well, we had an unwritten tradition there as our small congregation that on your last Sunday, you had to preach. And I wasn't expecting, and I'll just call his name Daryl, you know, to preach because he never did that and he didn't teach classes or anything else, but he was there every Sunday that he could be. Well, that last Sunday he came in and said, I'm ready to preach today. Shocked me. He's like, what? He goes, well, yeah, isn't that tradition? You know, on our last Sunday we have to preach. I said, yeah. He goes, I'm going to preach today. And he's like, you've got it. You know, he took the scripture to where I need to do something more. I need to be something better. You know, and that's what we need to strive for as a Christian, is what can I do better? How can I serve God more? There's always something that I can do. We should never look at ourselves as being unimportant. We should not look at ourselves as being the toes that, you know, we don't think does anything. We are all important in God's eyes. We are all important to this body of Christ here at Colbert. We all matter. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter what your spiritual knowledge is or scriptural knowledge is. We can all do something, and we can all do more. Do more with the gifts that God has given us. Do more with the services that are available that we can perform. Do more with the activities that we can create and be involved with. Okay? We are one body of Christ, and we can't forget that. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, please let us know. Let us help you. Let us guide you. Let us train you. You never know what training you get today will be used later on. I've said that, you know, when I was however old I was probably 10 or less. I don't remember exactly. Our small little congregation there at Inverity Point, the men of the congregation had got together and did what they called a Lads to Leaders program, which was before the Lads to Leaders big organization that it is now. And the man that was a song leader, the brother that was a song leader, taught us how to lead singing, how to read music, how to keep time, you know, how to pitch a song. Another brother in Christ taught us how to say prayers. They taught us how to serve on the Lord's table, how to usher, how to get up and speak. We started off with just a short speech there, you know, in our class. And we worked up, you know, to a 5-minute speech that we did on Wednesday night in front of the congregation. Then it turned to 15 minutes and then the 30-minute, you know, speech. Helping us as men into the service for the congregation, wherever that was. And that has always stuck with me and puts me to where I'm at today. You know, during COVID, Stephen was leading singing, but he had to go back to the sound room. And so I stepped up to lead singing. And Alex was all surprised that I was able to lead singing and I knew how to keep time, you know, with the song. And I was like, yeah, I've known how to do that since I was, you know, a wee little lad. You know, and it doesn't matter in congregations we've been to, you know, we need a preacher. I can do it. You know, it's what the Lord has trained me for and prepared me for. And we need to take what gifts that we have been given by God and use them to the fullest for God, for our family, for the body. And if there's any way that we can help you today in helping you use your gifts to their fullest, let us know. Let us pray for you. Let us encourage you as together we stand and sing.